Get the best odds on all the big games this March. Download the Circa Sports Iowa app today.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
All right, guys, got a new podcast for you guys today here on the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast Network, where there was really a surprise commitment. I didn't see it coming. Our premium subscribers and our Patreon members have gotten the inside scoop on how this went down so quickly with Blake Henson, the transfer from Ole Miss, who will be signing on with Iowa State. Still unclear about a waiver. I mean, at this point, I would count on him being a sit-out guy. And you guys know how the NCAA goes. You kind of just take those waivers when you can get them. But I've been kind of on the shelf the last few days. Stansberry's been the one who's doing the majority of our reporting and analysis on this. And Jared, you talked to the young man. First of all, what's your analysis on this for Iowa State? To me, it appears it's a pretty solid get for the last week of June.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think that anytime you can get to the last week of June and end up getting a guy who's a double-digit scorer from a power conference, I mean, obviously coming from the SEC, some stuff that I've read about him, it sounds like he's a little inconsistent sometimes, but he's a guy who was a really highly touted recruit in Kermit Davis's first recruiting class down there in Oxford, and someone I think that they were really excited about getting. And I think Iowa State should be excited too, just because he kind of gives them an added dynamic of all the different things that he can do. And that's what he talked about when I was talking to him on the phone yesterday, was just his versatility with his ability to, we hear Steve Cohen talk about how he wants people who can dribble, pass, and shoot. And it sounds like Blake fits into that mold.
Yeah. You know what, the thing that stood out to me, Jared, when I was kind of just, I haven't really seen this kid play, but I feel like I know like a big chunk of what Iowa State was missing last year. And it was kind of that skilled wing who you could really, if somebody zones you up, you could really abuse it a lot, like we saw Taylen Horton-Tucker do a few years ago. Really, a lot of the successful Iowa State teams have had a guy like this. George Niang was like that. You saw, even going back to Royce White, this seems like a guy who the skill set you're talking about, you're more of a basketball brain than me. Am I scratching where you itch right there? I mean, it seems like a nice piece.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's a nice piece, and I get where you're coming from when you say that, but at the same time, I think we should temper expectations a little bit, because like,
no doubt,
look at each of those three guys. I get exactly what you're trying to say. I'm not saying that you're thinking that he'll be like those guys.
Yeah.
But it's like each of them, when they even got to Iowa State, like we already knew that they had a pretty, insanely unique skill set. And whether it was with Taylen, a really, really, really good passer, where he's really creative, and especially his ability to finish around the rim. Royce could do everything. And then George was obviously so good at a lot of different stuff, whether it was shooting and then especially, around the rim offensively. But where I think, I don't think Hinton's ever had to play in a role like that, where he's kind of being the dude who's got the ball in his hands, he's being the initiator or anything like that. It's almost like he almost fits more in the mold of, in my mind, like a traditional stretch four, where he's someone who can stretch the four for you, shooting the ball, and he can, guard someone who's maybe a smaller post, or, he can have some versatility to guard the wing as well. And I think that that's where he probably will fit best with this team. Like, in a best case scenario, if he was able to get a waiver, I would think at that point it would be a situation where, whether it's Trey Jackson or, Tyler Harris, if you got a waiver two or whoever, and then you get them running the point, you get Rozier Bolton at the two, you get Jalen Coleman-Lanes, who can kind of play at the wing, on one wing at which would be good at his size, 6'5", and can put the ball on the floor and can shoot the ball as well. And then you put Henson at the four and have him in a position where he can kind of, you know, he can guard a lot of different positions and he can do a lot of different things. But at the same time, you're not going to have like a reliance on him, you know, being the initiator of your offense where, like you mentioned it before, they kind of missed that last year. I don't know that they've got anybody who's quite at that same level on this current roster, but, you know, they've got, as a collective, I think that they have the tools to be able to do that better than what this past team did.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I also think that you've looked more into next year than I have, but I just like the macro situation of as far as how recruiting goes now. This is, I think, a good example of why you want to have a scholarship or two open. Because this just came out of nowhere. I thought Iowa State was done. You know, I've been telling our premium subscribers that I believe that they were done unless something, you know, came out of nowhere, and this did. Now, I want to be careful. I don't think Steve Prohm was sitting around planning on this happening. I think that this kind of just popped up, and so the details on it was James Kane recruited this young man out of high school when James was at Dayton. And that's the one thing if I pass along to our podcast listeners, I think that has really written the story of the spring and summer recruiting period of 2020 with COVID is, I mean, relationships have trumped all without being able to get anybody on campus. And that was what put Iowa State in such a pounceable situation here is because, you know, one of Steve Prohm's top assistants had already recruited the young man. There was already, he's a Florida kid. Kane's from Florida. Like there were all these connections that were already there. And man, it's just fascinating to me. I've covered basketball recruiting for a really long time and, just watching all of this play out because it really just was a right place at the right time thing. And I think with the transfer rule, that's going to be changing eventually. I think that it would have changed, you know, this summer had COVID not hit. They have enough to deal with right now, these schools and conferences and the NCAA. But I don't know, man. Like, I think that if you're a Division I basketball coach, I mean, I think the days of filling out your roster to 13 scholarships are long gone. I think that it just will pay once these guys can move around a little more freely to have at least one. I would say even two or three open, though. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I just think the reality, too, is like when you've got a full roster, you know, we know this. Like, if you've got 10 guys who can play, you know, and are probably good enough to play, that's good. Obviously, that's a good thing. But how often are you really going to be running 10 guys out there at a time? It gets harder and harder to keep people happy, like the more people that you have around.
Yeah.
And, you know, this is something that I've said before, like, I have to give Fran McCaffrey credit for one thing. And that's because in this world, roster retention is going to be your ability to retain your roster is going to be so crucial. I think moving forward, how can you keep your core together for as long as possible? And that's when I say I have to give Fran McCaffrey some credit. Like, when do you really ever see like a major difference maker for them leave, you know? Mm-hmm. And I mean, Isaiah Moss left, but even then, like he left and they were better than they were when they had him. And, that's just where, you know, he catches some flack. And I mean, I've given, you and I have both given Fran plenty of flack in the past, but like, when you look at it, it's like, when you look at what college basketball is about to be here in the not so distant future, like it's going to be incredibly crucial and just so important to be able to keep your team together to where you're not having to turn over four or five different spots every single year, you know? Mm-hmm. And, I just think we're going to see more and more here where these schools that can keep guys around, you know, maybe they can get some one and dones or whatever, but the schools that can keep guys around, you can build a core that you've got, that you have them, you know, and they're playing for 2 or 3 years and they can grow up together. It's going to look, there will be the people that are jumping around, but at the same time, there's the best teams, I think, are going to be the ones that, like what you and I have talked about in the past, that you know, people are jumping around. They're not leaving, and guys aren't leaving early for the NBA or whatever it is. Like, they're just kind of growing up together and getting better together and becoming a better team.
Yeah, so really rare in today's day and age to get a surprise commitment like that. Usually you've got weeks and weeks of, like, guys, even the transfers now, you know, trimming their list on Twitter and, you know, rumors. That I don't remember the last time. I mean, with football, it tends to happen because there's just so many more guys out there. I don't remember the last time that I was surprised by a basketball commitment like that. I mean, that thing came out of nowhere. And it was funny. With some of our premium subscribers, like, obviously most people know I've been on the shelf with COVID here for the last few days, so I haven't been working a ton. I've been trying to do some. But I had not been on, like, I thought recruiting was over. I hadn't been looking into it. I hadn't been digging anything like that. And waking up to that was, like, just an utter shock. And, like, some of our subscribers, Jared, were like, this was awesome. They really enjoyed it. Just, like, from a recruiting standpoint, it was just so rare how this all played out.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I'd set an alarm for, like, 7:30 yesterday morning. And I just remember that I woke up and when it went off, I looked at my phone and I was like, I mean, I can't imagine there's anything going on. Because usually that's what I do. I have an alarm and then I'll wake up, I'll look at my phone, see if there's anything happening that I really need to be paying attention to. And I'm like, all right, I think I'm good. I'm going to get a little bit more sleep. And I went back to sleep for like 45 minutes and I woke up. I had like 6 missed calls, had like 12 text messages, a whole bunch of messages on Slack. You were sending me text messages. Steph was trying to call me and I'm like, oh my God, what happened? And I was like, man, I was sitting there first thing and I was like, dude, is Chris in the hospital? Or like, what's going on? Why is everybody trying to get a hold of me? And then I look at it and I was like, oh man, of course they got a basketball commit. And I was like, man, that's just almost worse.
Just crazy.
Now I'm behind. I was like, now I'm behind on trying to get this story done and all that stuff. But I mean, I think it caught everybody by surprise.
I'm
sure if we talked to like Travis, he would probably say the same thing.
Yeah, no, it was kind of fun though. Right. I won't lie. It was kind of brought me back to the old days where all of a sudden, like, you were thrown off guard by this guy coming out of nowhere. But yeah, I think we've picked about all the meat off the bone. We'll do something. Now, Jared, you had a good piece at Cyclone Fanatic we want to promote that where you're kind of looking like if he's eligible on the roster. Jared went into more depth with that. And then you talked to the young man too. So for those who, I mean, reading it is one thing. How is he? He was described to me as a big personality, like a really fun type guy who Iowa State fans would probably really kind of like. How did he come off to you?
Yeah, I mean, I think he probably will be that. It's also where, I mean, you know how this goes. Like, with covering recruiting, it can be hit and miss sometimes. And it's like, there's been guys that, you know, like, so George Condit, for instance, like when I first talked to him after he committed, like, I'd heard about how big of a personality George was and all this stuff. And I was, you know, I was excited to talk to him. And then he would say like 2 words to my questions. And now I know, like, man, you know, like, George is my boy. Like, every time I see him before the games, we're dapping up and stuff like that. Like, yeah. I have talked to him a lot, but, At that time, I mean, I don't think Blake, he's kind of like, man, who is this guy that's calling me? He's like, I don't really know anything about you. And so he was answering my questions and stuff like that. But not everybody's Jalen Coleman Lands, where you call him to ask him 5 questions and then all of a sudden you're on the phone for 20 minutes. And so it was like, he's a unicorn, but Blake was really good. I can see where he will have a, you know, he will be good in the media and people will really like him. Initial context.
Yeah. Let me put you on the spot here. This just came to me. Assuming that they're done, I can't imagine they get rid of that last scholarship. I think they want to keep one. Unless, like, you know, a perfect scenario came. What grade do you give Iowa State now that we think that they're done? Yeah, I mean, this helps considerably, I think. And I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, they missed on a lot of guys early, but I also think that this would be my defense of the program right now, is they had a lot of stuff to fill. And I mean, I do think that we saw a real effort to not just take whatever. Like, mm-hmm. I think that Prohm has missed on so many of these like grad transfers and stuff, where I think he was really choosy to only take guys he knew could help the team. And I think that's why they seemed to miss as much as they did early on. But I don't know. Like, I just feel like the days of taking Jeff Beverly and, you know, guys like that are probably behind this program.
Man, happy belated birthday to the double nickel, though. Happy belated birthday to Jeff.
No doubt.
Late last week.
I saw that. The mid-range master.
Yeah, mid-range king. Yeah. But, I want to hear what your grade was first, then, after you say that.
I'd probably give him, like, a B. I don't know. Like,
okay.
I'd probably give him a B. This helps. I think, I don't know, it wouldn't have been that high without Henson. I mean, I guess it maybe depends. Like, Tyler Harris is a high major guy. We've seen it.
Yeah.
Coleman Lanz is a high major guy who may come in and lead the team in scoring next year. I mean, let's just say in like a best case world, Henson and Harris can both get eligible. Then I'd probably give them, you know, B+, A-.
But yeah, so that's what I was.
That's not really under their control, though. So, I mean,
right.
And the thing is, it's like we've talked about it a lot. Like, I mean, when you talk about these like top end grad transfers, like it's just so hard to get them now. Like, those guys aren't going to Iowa State very much anymore. You know, like they're going to your Gonzagas and Dukes, and like it's just more difficult to get those type of guys. So I don't know. Like I would rather have gone this way than, you know, taking two or three guys who were, you know, middle of the pack guys in like mid majors last year, and just hoping that they're going to take some, you know. Jeff Beverly led his team in scoring as a junior at Texas San Antonio. Like, so, you know, like it, I feel like I don't want to just crap over Jeff Beverly, but I would rather the staff be choosy with these guys than just, you know, take every grad transfer they can and just hope that it turns out. Like, I don't think they're doing that anymore.
Man, I'll never forget looking at Jeff's stats when they first got him, his stats from Texas San Antonio. And you're like, okay, average, you know, whatever it was, 13, 14 points a game or whatever, you know. Yeah, and then you start going further down the stat sheet, and you're like, well, he shot 34% from the field. He took 17 shots a game. And it was like, oh, shoot, okay. Well, this will be interesting. But I agree with what you said there. I think that if nothing else, you know, they got three guys who are going to come in and raise the quality of play on, or quality of talent on the roster, top to bottom, you know. But as of right now today, I think I have to give them a B- or a B, just until we know whether or not those guys are going to be eligible.
So we're about the same spot then.
Yeah, just because, I mean, yeah, like we can sit here and say, like, wow, we really like this addition of Blake Henson and Tyler Harris, but if we don't get to watch them play for another year and a half, like, if they don't get those two guys eligible, then this roster is hardly any different than what it would have been anyway. You know?
Yeah. I mean, you, with the freshman,
you have Coleman Lanz.
Yeah.
You have the freshman and Coleman Lanz, but it's like you're going to be relying a lot on four freshmen to come in and have to play a lot, probably. And then you add the grad transfer, but it's just like, you just don't have that much flexibility with that group, I feel like. And it's like, if you have one guy who comes in and doesn't perform to the expectation level, well, you don't really have much to fall back on at that point. And so like, I think that it has, that's where I'd put it today, is like a B-, just because we don't know for sure whether or not it's going to make an impact for the program immediately, or if it's going to have to be like a long play. But it has an opportunity to go from being a B- to being a B+ or an A- if both of those guys got eligible and could play right away, and then ended up being really successful. And I mean, I think that you could even say that too, like if they weren't eligible, and I mean, they'll have, after this next year, like they'll still have a lot of that core coming back again. For 21-22, you add those two guys into the mix, whatever they can get in the 21 class, which, I mean, they've got some pretty big fish. I think that they're trying to chase right now in that class and in that recruiting cycle. And then, you know, you just lose Solomon Young and Jalen Coleman Land. So it's like, that looks like a team that could be pretty dang good too. So it's like, there's a lot of like a long period of time here where I feel like it could really fluctuate on how this really looks. But, you know, like right now today on June 25th, I have a hard time being like, yeah, I'm going to give them an A because they went and filled a lot of their needs for this next season when, you know, until you find out the outcome of any sort of waiver for Tyler Harris or Blake Hinson, then, you know, we don't know what kind of immediate impact they can make on the program.
Well said. All right, man. We'll catch up maybe late this weekend or early next week and do another pod. I can't sit here by myself.
Yeah.
Too much longer.
You just need to bring the PS4 downstairs and start getting after it on Tony Stewart Racing and just kill some time.
I do think I'm going to buy a couple games this weekend. I'm going to lose my mind. So,
man, if you want to get your ass kicked in MLB The Show, then let me know.
Man, I've been boycotting baseball. I don't know if I can give the Players Association any of my money for those.
The Players Association, man, it's not their fault.
I was just trying to make you mad. I knew that would get you going. I don't even care.
No, I couldn't care less about baseball, dude. I just like playing the video game, and I like kicking Sean Roberts' ass in it. So that's all I play for.
That's good. All right. Thanks, man.
Yeah, I'll talk to you later, man.